Up next, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us. She's got a great story with the spiritual warrior Bill Bean, and we'll get into it with Cheryl. And then in the last hour of the program, of course, it's Conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with our investigative reporter, Cheryl Jones. Cheryl, of course, has been a news anchor person at CNN for some time, and now she's with us. Cheryl, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
Looking forward to this. You are you wearing a mask at all these days, or what's going on out in your neck of the woods?
I'm not telling.
All right. Are you okay? Everything's good with you?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. It is rather chaotic out there, though, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It sure is. It sure is. You had a chance to talk to our friend, spiritual warrior Bill Bean, huh?
I certainly did.
He's a great guy.
I had a great conversation with Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior. You know him well as a Coast favorite, and he'll be updating us tonight on what's happening now with his work in spiritual warfare to help others conquer demonic possessions.
He got involved in this, and I've had him on not only this program several times, but Beyond Belief, our television program. And this guy's a master, so I'm looking forward to this. Go ahead.
He definitely is. So amazing. There's so many levels. It's such a complex, multi-level story, and you could go on forever, but today we know that many people believe our world is in a battle with dark forces, a battle of good versus evil, and people are wondering what connections there might be with chaotic times we're living through right now, with some reports saying that demonic possessions around the world are increasing. Well, Bill is a deliverance minister and exorcist worldwide. He's an author. He's been featured on numerous TV shows and became a pastor after growing up as a child in a demonically possessed home with paranormal entities that tormented his family for years and eventually tore the Bean family apart. So in this first segment, Pastor Bill tells me how he conquered the dark forces and some surprising reasons he now believes his family was specifically targeted so viciously. Listen now to our conversation.
Reverend Bill Bean, also known as the Spiritual Warrior, welcome to Coast.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be on with you.
And what do you prefer to be called?
Just Bill.
All right, Bill it is. You've been a longtime Coast guest with George, but tonight it's the first year with me in the early morning hours, and we want to welcome you back to Coast. And before we get on to the other paranormal aspects related to your family's battle with demonic possession that you haven't talked about, you'll be talking some about that here tonight with us. But first, give us a brief recap of the Bean family story for our listeners who are familiar with your story and are new listeners as well.
Well, again, it's a pleasure to be back on. I thank you, and thank you to my good friend George as well. And what a journey. That's all I can say. It's been an incredible journey. And you and I spoke off air about this, and it's worth repeating that I couldn't be where I'm at right now and helping others had I not been there. So we suffered greatly, Cheryl. It's unfathomable. And it really didn't hit me until after I had written the original book. I've written 6 books. I'm working on the 7th now. And in the first book, Dark Force, it was very difficult to write. And that's when it really, it just hit, the weight hit me as I was writing that, because I had to go back and relive some of those experiences and put myself back into those high trauma situations. And I don't know how we endured it for so long.
When I read your book, Dark Force Revisited, such unbelievable, constant attacks, and it was so hard to understand how your family endured that for so many years. I'm not sure I'd want to revisit that, but you did. Why did you?
Well, the reason that I went back, two reasons. The first, I always rely on God to guide me. Am I perfect? No. Do I claim to be? No. I'm real. And I try to do the best that I can do, be the best that I can be every day of my life. So I allow God to guide me in all things. And I felt that God was putting it on my spirit to do a rewrite, because there were a lot of things that I left out. And I also wrote it because I felt that there were people out there who were going through similar things, and they needed to read this to have blessed assurance that if God could work these types of miracles of transformation for me, he could do it for anybody.
What do you think now that your family was so tortured? Was it the house, the area, or could these demons have been passed on to your family from a former generation?
All of the above. So many years ago, maybe 100 years ago, two family members conjured up demonic forces through invocation and invitation. And they came onto the family, and I believe that it created a family bloodline curse. So a lot of horrific and tragic things have taken place over the years, you know, throughout the family and then on both sides of the family. And so I feel very strongly that the initial demonic forces that were conjured up by those two family members actually led my parents to the home in Glenbury, Maryland, in the community called Herondale, where this three-bedroom ranch-style home stood. I believe that they were actually led there, and I think that evil was already present and manifest in the area. As a matter of fact, I know it is and was. And also in the house. So that's why it was so severe for us. We were in the middle of this perfect storm.
So about the house, was there anything specifically different about the house that you noticed other than the evil feeling it possessed?
Well, I can tell you this, that I was four when we moved there. My sister was 13, and we had a younger brother who's a couple years younger than me. And my first recollections, and my sister as well, we were standing together in front of the house. And the house was located at the bottom of a downhill cul-de-sac with a very large and deep ravine located behind it. And the house was semi-dilapidated. My father, William Bean Sr., was a master carpenter contractor, so he saw it as a restoration project. But my first feeling and recollection, just awful. And my sister said the same thing, that, you know, Our initial feelings were of dread. We were frightened. We didn't know why we were frightened, but the house just had a very ominous look and feel about it, and equally so on the inside.
You told me you thought the main portal was in your sister Patty's bedroom.
Yeah, and there were many portals in the house and on the property. It was also rumored to be an Indian burial ground down in there, which there was one spot in particular that certainly would have the look of that. If any of it was true, it would have been in that spot, in that place. But that house was very dark, even on the brightest of days. And the reason the house was so dark is because it had this dark brown paneling on the walls, almost black in color. And so the house just had, you can feel evil. I'll put it to you like that. There are atmospheric changes that take place when evil is present and manifest. And there's a variety of things that can manifest and take place that would be confirmation that evil is present. And that house had all of it. And so you're walking through the living room, you would make a right down a long hallway, which had again, the black paneling on the walls. My sister's bedroom is across the hallway, the last room on the left. And again, yes, that is the room where I feel the main portal in the house was located. It was located inside of her closet, which connected to the linen closet that was at the end of the hallway. And so many manifestations and supernatural events took place over the years that involved the linen closet at the end of the hallway and my sister's closet too.
So you said you felt there was a bloodline curse from your mother's side of the family. You
Yes.
felt the house was possessed, and you mentioned the area. What made you think the area was possessed?
Well, for such a small community, it was a very high level of violence, murder, violent crimes, domestic abuse. I mean, this was rampant all through this small community, just off the charts. You wouldn't believe it. And also a very high number of people, including people that I knew that were neighbors and friends, kids that I grew up with, that were participating in black magic, Satanism, witchcraft, all these types of things.
Do you think the previous owner or anyone associated with that house prior to your family moving there knew about the demons in the house and in the area, but just didn't tell your parents about it when they bought it?
Well, without really knowing the answer, my best guess on it would be yes. I feel that they had to have known something. They just had to, because a very strange thing, we talked about this off air, and it's, again, worth repeating, is that I have been in many of the houses in the area, in that community over the years. And all the walls in those, and the houses were built like in the mid-1940s, and they were built for soldiers that were returning from World War II. And those walls were very thin. It'd be very easy to put your foot or a knee or an elbow or your fist through those walls. Yet in our house, the walls were very thick, and you could not put any holes in those walls. And we found out that walls were built over top of the existing walls in the house. Now, why they did that, I have no idea, but it is absolutely bizarre. And again, you would have had to have seen it to believe how solid those walls were in our home. So were they trying to keep something in? I don't know, but I do believe this, that they had to have been aware of something taking place there. And furthermore, after we were finally forced out of there, the house changed hands many times over the years and sat empty for a long period of time as well. And one man bought the house, lived there less than 6 weeks, and put it back on the market and took a very large loss just to be free from it.
Why do you think your mother was such a target of the demons in such an extreme way? Was it the combination of all those things that you mentioned, the bloodline curse, the possession of the house, the area also demonized? But your dad was also physically attacked.
My parents both were good people. And my mother suffered more than any other person I've ever seen in my life. And my mother and her family were actually living in that very area. So she had pre-exposure to the area. She suffered paranormal, supernatural events in her childhood. So she was already exposed to high levels of trauma. So I certainly know this now as a spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, whatever you want to call me, that when people are exposed to high levels of trauma, this demonic garbage will be with them and follow them everywhere they go. And until somebody like me comes along, or somebody of that order that is an agent for God to have the power of God working through them to get rid of it and break it off the person, they'll never be free from it. And I feel that my mother certainly was one of those people that had this awful oppression on her for so long, and it caused her problems, you know, mentally, spiritually, and physically. Now, my mother didn't have any mental illness, but she was under such mental strain from everything that was taking place, it greatly contributed to her death.
Did you feel that your life or the life of anyone else in your family or around you was in danger on a constant basis?
Yes, and we were in danger, and God saved us every time. But I can tell you with 100% belief and certainty that each and every one of us were in physical danger and in life-threatening danger.
So you think if you had known then what you know now about demonic possession and how to overcome it, everything could have been completely different for your mother and your entire family?
There's no question about it. I believe that 100%. You know, if I could ever travel back in time, it would be to go back and rescue my mother from those horrible things that happened to her and the things that contributed to the destruction of my family.
What made you make such a dramatic change in your life and become a pastor?
The power of God. And I lived a life that, you know, I lived in the fear-based, trauma-based way of living and thinking for so long, because when you're exposed to high levels of trauma, it's very difficult to break that and to break those patterns. For so many years, I didn't care about anything. I really wanted to die. I was seeking death. So it took a willingness on my part to want to start a new chapter and a new season in my life. I turned to God and I asked God to help me. And I was sincere about making a commitment with God. Yahweh is his name, and his son, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. And I developed a real and authentic relationship with God. And in turn, he transformed my life from victim to victor.
How admirable, Cheryl, to want to help his mother and to go, if he could go back into time.
Oh, absolutely. It's just such an incredible story. It is unbelievable. And, of course, there's not enough time to go into everything that they went through, but it's just such a chilling story, and it's one you can't put the book down when you start reading.
What's even more amazing is Bill Bean is the real deal.
Yes, he is. Yes, he absolutely is. And he's continuing to work and coming out with another book as we speak.
Well, good for him. And since he's been doing this, trying to fight the evil, has he ever been attacked?
Oh, absolutely. In growing up, he was attacked in the home that he talks about being so haunted.
Yeah.
And when you hear him talk about the construction of the home with the walls and how strong they were, you have to know that there was something before that family moved in there. And you can just imagine with the three different sources of demonic attacks, the hereditary curse that he felt he had through his mother, the main portal in his sister's closet, and also the curse that's even in the neighborhood. I just don't know how anybody could survive that as well as he did.
His mother must have gone through a living hell for something like that.
He says that she really did. And as I said, if he had known then or someone around had known then what he feels that he knows now, it could have been a completely different outcome.
In our second part, what are some of the things he talks about?
Well, we'll talk more about how Bill conquered the dark forces and how he's helping others who feel they need his help to overcome their demons. And does he think there are paranormal connections with other things like supernatural entities and UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, angels?
Yeah, he seems to believe that they're all connected somehow.
Yes, he does. And we even talk about Skinwalker Ranch. And I ask him if he thinks there are supernatural connections to the chaos that's going on around us now, and also how he got the name, the spiritual warrior, and why the devil is so hard to get rid of.
Have you ever lived in a time period like you have right now, Cheryl?
Never. It's almost, George, like you want to stop the world so you can just get off and rest for a moment.
I know it. I know it. I had a friend of mine who said he wanted to get a passport and go to a different country, and I said, why? It's worse.
Yes, be careful what you wish for.
That's absolutely true. And with Bill, I mean, how is his health and stuff like that, Cheryl, considering what he goes through all the time?
Well, he seems to be very, very strong and very powerful, and he is on the go, unbelievably. And he continues to talk to people all over the world, and he does Skype sessions and those kinds of things to counsel people and to help them with the exorcisms and so on. So it's really amazing, as you talk further with him, some of the elements that he's experiencing and what he thinks is going on today.
We've got your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but for folks who just want to jot it down, it's CherylJones.com, but I'm going to let you spell it, Cheryl.
CHERYLL.
Got to have that second L or you don't get it.
That's right. Jones, common spelling, J-O-N-E-S, at yahoo.com.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment with part two of Cheryl's interview, and then at the last hour of the program, we call it Conversations with Cheryl, where we take basically your open line calls with her, your story ideas, just about anything weird, strange, and paranormal. We're ready for it. And welcome back. We're back with Cheryl Jones. Next hour, Conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your phone calls. And we do it like an open line format. So questions, thoughts, and stories, just share them with us. Cheryl has been interviewing, of course, the spiritual warrior Bill Bean, and she's got part two for us. Go ahead, Cheryl.
That's right, George. I continue my conversation with spiritual warrior Bill Bean. We talk about various things regarding connections between the paranormal and the unprecedented civil unrest going on around us these days, and his message of hope and faith for overcoming dark forces. And Bill believes there's a supernatural connection between even UFOs, aliens, Bigfoot, angels, orbs, and all paranormal events, even those at Skinwalker Ranch. And I asked Bill about his conversations with Skinwalker officials regarding that famous ranch, which is well known for strange and mysterious events. And through it all, Bill offers his message of hope and faith through knowledge and empowerment for our La Coast listeners. More now with spiritual warrior Bill Bean.
Bill, how does the devil get such a foothold on people? Are there common threads among people who have demonic possessions?
Well, I'll say this. I've helped people now in 43 other countries aside from America, and I praise God for working through me to do that. And every case is unique in a sense, but also there is a common thread. And not in all the cases, but in, I would have to say, a majority of the cases, that common thread is child molestation, some type of act like that, or rape, or some violent crime, some type of mental and physical torture. Because these things, these wicked and heinous crimes, when they take place, they are elevating the victim to levels of trauma that will release secretions and blood out of the pineal gland and the adrenal glands, and demons feed on that like candy. So once again, when that takes place, it will require someone like me, an agent for God to work through, to come and get the demons out and off and away from the person and sever all of the demonic strongholds and oppression, and in some cases, possession. So it is horrific. And some of the cases that I've been involved with and in, just the victims, it's just heartbreaking. But it's the greatest thing, though, when the person is free and knowing that God actually worked through me to help that person become free, and then they go on to have a quality of life. There's no feeling like it.
So how was the name Spiritual Warrior chosen?
That came from my dear friend, Tom Danheiser, Tommy D from Coast to Coast. Love him dearly. I was actually out there doing a TV shoot with George for his Beyond Belief TV shows. And we did the first shoot, and then it was in between, and I don't know how it came up. Tom and I were out there in the lobby talking, and he just said that, the spiritual warrior, Bill Bean, that's who you are. And it just stuck. And so Tommy D is the one that came up with that, and boy, oh boy, I owe him one for that, because it stuck, and that's really how people know me.
Why do you think, Bill, that it's so important that people know about paranormal stories such as yours if they aren't affected themselves? Some may say, I don't want to know about that. It's too scary. It's too dangerous. Why is that?
And I pray, you know, people like that never have an experience. You know, there are some people that can navigate through life and never have any type of paranormal, supernatural experience one way or the other. And good for them. Praise God. But I feel that people need to know things, because God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we should know. And we should know, certainly in today's world, with the chaotic things that are taking place on a regular basis, the spiritual aspect of that is off the charts. So more and more people are being affected by the supernatural, and certainly by evil forces, because of the frequency and vibration that is lowered. All life operates on frequency and vibration. And when our frequency and vibration is lowered, we are wide open for the devil and his demons to come in and attack. So I feel that it is best served, I guess, for people to have an awareness. And I don't want anybody to have fear. But again, people should be informed and understand that, A, these things are real, and B, it can happen to anyone.
Do you feel there's a definite connection between the paranormal and supernatural and the extreme chaotic times that we're living through right now?
I absolutely do. All we have to do is just take a look in the world. And I'm firmly convinced the events that are taking place now, that this has all happened before. If you read the Bible and the Old Testament, these things have happened before. There are civilizations that go away from God, and they become rebellious, and they do their own thing, and they think that they're gods, and the devil loves every minute of it, because he doesn't care if you believe in him or not. He wants you to puff yourself up and be arrogant and haughty and unkind and just cold and indifferent. That's what he wants, and that's what we're seeing a lot in our world. So it's happened before, and in some cases, the people wouldn't repent and turn back to God, and he caused destruction upon them.
Is demonic possession on the rise now? Do you think there's more evil or good in our world? Are we in a survival battle of good versus evil?
We certainly are. We are fully immersed in it. And yes, the cases of demonic possession and oppression are through the roof. And I'm not Catholic. I'm non-denomination. But there are stories that I've read that they are looking for more Catholic exorcists because they can't keep up with the number of people that are being affected in this way.
Regarding UFOs and aliens, do you believe those are supernatural or paranormal?
I absolutely do. My fifth book, I think it was, called Stranger Than Fiction. I wrote about it, and it was just connecting the dots. And I very much, and there's a lot of people that would disagree with me on this, Cheryl, especially people in the UFO community that are more of the nuts and bolts type of people. But based on my experiences, there's no doubt in my mind that all of these things are very much connected.
Skinwalker Ranch has a lot of bizarre activity going on. Would you go to Skinwalker Ranch to investigate if asked?
I absolutely would. I would go if they wanted me to come, you know, as a man of God, a spiritual warrior, to perform a blessing and cleansing and deliverance of that land. And I believe that it needs it. There's a lot of sinister stuff going on there, and it goes way, way back. But I would go there fully anticipating to bind and rebuke, cast out, bless, seal, sanctify, purify, cleanse, and make that land holy. And so that would be the only way I would want to go. I'm not interested in investigation per se, because I already know that the things taking place there are real. So I would absolutely be interested in going there to as a problem solver by the power of God working through me.
You've shared information with people like Robert Bigelow, with Eric Davis, with NIDS, people in the high levels of research of UFOs and aliens. Could you share with us what you shared with them?
Yeah, and there's experience, the UFO experience has started. The first sighting I had was in 1977 at that house and over the ravine in the backyard, and my family was with me. So that's the first time that I saw a UFO. And then in 1995, January 1995, to be more specific, these things just started appearing. I wasn't seeking them, but they started appearing to me. And I thought that in the beginning they were helicopters. And then I found out, and many other people started witnessing them with me, including my wife, that they were some type of unidentified flying object. And they were around me, and they were around me constantly. So then I started to reach out to people. And I had talked with many of the prominent figures in the UFO field, including Robert Bigelow and of NIDS, I believe it was National Institute of Discovery Science. And he had Dr. Eric Davis get back to me. And so I had a regular dialogue and communication with Dr. Eric Davis for several, at least 2 years, I think. So it was probably 96 when we were in regular communication. And that was up to probably 98, 99, somewhere in there. But they were very interested, as were others. My UFO footage, I shot over 16 hours of UFO footage over the years and taken probably over 1,000 photographs. And my UFO footage alone was featured on the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news. It was featured in one of those Fox UFO TV specials. And so it garnered a great deal of attention. And I've had as many as 50 people in a group with me that have witnessed these objects that came. And it's still to this day, I don't know why, but I can tell you this, that I felt some of it was divine, and other times I felt like my life was in danger.
Do you think all these supernatural and paranormal entities and experiences are connected, and including Bigfoot, Mothman, UFOs, orbs, angels, demons, all of the supernatural entities? Is there a connection that you feel is so strong that it's undeniable?
It is undeniable. It's all connected. There's no doubt about it. I've had experiences with all of those types of entities and more. And so there's no question 100% in my belief, in my mind, that they are connected. And again, this is based on my experiences and the experiences as a man of God and spiritual warrior going on behalf of others. I have encountered things that you would just have to see with your own eyes to believe.
Hmm. Wow. Bill, what is your next book?
The next book is, and it's amazing how God works, because I had visualized writing Stranger Than Fiction Part 2, but before I could start on that, God put something on my spirit to write this book of empowerment, inspiration, motivation. So it is a book of absolute goodness from the first page to the last. And I'm going to offer it as a free download for everybody that's listening in. And I'll have it, it's nearly completed now, and I'll have it in a PDF form that will be on my website and BillJBean.com. And people can go there and click on it and have it for free and read it for free. So this is about God putting something on me to give to the people. Certainly in these perilous times that we're in now, people need hope. They need faith. They need God. We all need God more than ever before. So this is my little gesture by the power of God that he put this on my spirit to do this, that I would have this this book of goodness that I pray will be a blessing to anyone and everyone that will read it.
What a nice surprise for our listeners. We thank you for that. How can people get in touch with you, Bill?
Well, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'm a very, very busy man. However, never too busy to help someone. So if you're out there and you're having any of these types of things that we've discussed or other situations that you feel that you're in a negative, evil, bad way, don't hesitate to contact me. You can visit BillJBean.com and you can email me directly from the site and I'll get it. And one of my assistants will be back to you very, very quickly. And we'll certainly do everything that we can by the power of God to help you to become free and move forward in your life.
Thank you so much, Reverend Bill Bean, Bill, the spiritual warrior. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight and updating us on all of your hard work and sharing all the new information about the Bean family story and also for your book of goodness for our listeners.
It is my honor and pleasure, Cheryl. And thank everybody out there for listening in, and God bless all of you.
Oh, he's more spiritual than I even thought he was.
Yes, he doesn't miss a trick there, I'll tell you. It's really something. But it's interesting that he got the name of Spiritual Warrior from our own Tommy D, beloved producer here on Coast. And I think so, if you're lucky enough to be anointed by Tom, you know it's a name that's got to stick.
Absolutely. Tom's got the holy water and everything.
He does. He does. I hate to ask him what his name for me might be.
Don't ask.
Right. And also, listeners can see some of Bill's UFO photos on his site linked up on Coast as well. And if they want the brand new free book, that's linked up through his website in a free PDF form. It has lots of uplifting info, prayers, inspirations, and that's an easy way to get it, George. So maybe our whole world needs an exorcism, but it's easier to start with a free book.
Cheryl, did you see that story about the Senate Intelligence Committee? They voted to require intelligence agencies, the CIA and others, that the Pentagon provided unclassified report to Congress on unidentified aerial phenomena. Now, in particular, this is where I think they're making a mistake. The senators want to know whether or not the unidentified aerial phenomena activity could be attributed to one or more foreign adversaries.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out, and also that they want to regulate it, like as if we haven't had enough regulation on the information that's been released.
It's amazing. It's got to pass the full Senate and the House, and then the president has to sign it. But it's amazing that they do it. But they actually think that foreign adversaries, whoever they may be, Russia, China, whomever, might have this kind of technology. That's crazy.
That's crazy, and it's rather scary. So it's just another area that shows how competitive the countries are and really have to be to protect national security. And I remember Edgar Mitchell talking about how the trip to the moon was a rush to beat Russia there. So it goes all across the board, and now we're facing it in this level.
Jot this down as a possible story for you to cover for us.
Okay.
This might be something well worthwhile. In terms of schedule ahead, Tom and you are going through the schedules because Thanksgiving is in, several months, and that's on a Thursday, so we're going to probably run you on the Wednesday before, right?
Yes, I think that's good.
And I think Christmas is on a Friday. Christmas Eve is on a Thursday. which will probably run you on the 23rd of December this year.
23rd or the next Thursday is still in December on the 31st.
That's right. That's your last. That's New Year's Eve.
Right. So then that would be.
So we'd push you back on the 30th. That's right.
30th.
That's
right. Right.
Super. Got to keep track of this.
Yeah.
We're going to take open line calls next hour with Cheryl. And Cheryl, what do you prefer? When you get phone calls, do you want questions about the story you've covered tonight? Do you want questions about future stories? What do you prefer?
I think it would be very interesting for people, for our listeners, George, if they've had any experiences relating to the things that either Bill has gone through or any demonic possessions that they've had to encounter, any of those kinds of paranormal experiences they've had themselves. Even it could be an angelic intervention. It could be on the positive side. Not all paranormal and supernatural are alike. We have that good versus evil, and that's certainly the case in this world as well. So if anyone has had any experience, paranormal, supernatural, evil or angelic, I think it would be great to hear from them.
All right, stick with us. We're going to come back in just a moment and take phone calls with Cheryl Jones on Coast to Coast AM.